It's Sunday morning, October 23rd.
Yes, Lord. We ask for your blessing on our service today. And Lord, that your spirit would flow and that we would be ministers of your love, that we would be filled with your love, that we would, as your word says, love you. Oh, that that would be first, Lord. And that we would love our neighbors with your love. Our love doesn't cut the mustard there. But that we would love our neighbors with your love. And that we would be made in your image, O Lord. Your truth, your light, your goodness, O Lord. Do that good work. Amen.
Amen.
I was looking for some scriptures this morning, and I discovered that the ones that I was looking for were all basically in the same chapter. Mm-hmm. And that's in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Mm-hmm. And from now on, I will know a lot about the 13th chapter of Matthew. But it says that there's a merchant. In chapter 13, verse 45, a merchant man seeking godly pearls, and when he had found one of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And anyway, there's about three or four parables that are pretty close to that one, that are right close together, and each one has the same basic meaning, and it has the same ending to it. Mm-hmm. It's like they went and sold everything they had and bought it. They sold everything they had and bought it.
Thank you.
And you know, when you get to be 85 or 86, whatever I am, it's a lot easier to get rid of it, you know what I mean? But I can remember when I was maybe 40 years old, I said, well, I will do that. But you know what? You don't. You don't sell everything that you have to buy it. But when you get to be old, it's a lot easier to say, yeah, I can do that. And you know what? I can.
Lord.
And so can anybody else. But it's a lot easier or a lot harder when we're young, because we have so many things that we're trying to hang on to. And I don't have too much to hang on to. And but anyway. It says, it shall be at the end of the world that angels shall come. I can't read it here, but come forth and sever the wicked men from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said, have you understood all of these things? And they said, yes. And it's like, we do and we don't. But how vital is it that we sell all that we have?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
It's necessary. But it's not easy.
I don't think the natural man can do it. I think it's got to be a work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
And old age.
That helps too. Yeah.
I think when you're younger, you're trying to accomplish more, and when you're older, you feel like you've accomplished it.
Yeah. Story's been written.
It's not as important to accomplish more.
Sure.
so it's easier for me anyway.
Well, when your physical condition makes a difference too.
Yeah. I've seen old folks with a lot of ego, though.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I would encourage you to read the 13th chapter of Matthew based on what I'm talking about, and the 14th, but especially the 13th. You know, it says the righteous shall shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father. It says, who have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, the thing that is so amazing is that that he has given us the picture of the kingdom. You know, you heard how it says that the kingdom of God is like the tree with the little seeds.
Mustard seed?
Mustard.
The mustard seed, yeah. And it grows up to be a little tiny seed, which is what we are, you know. But when it develops, it becomes the biggest shrub of any kind, of any of them. So birds nest in it and whatever else. And it just gives us a picture of what the kingdom of God is going to become.
We do have to recognize the seed, small as it is, though.
Yeah.
See the potential. That's faith. To see that tiny seed and recognize that it can be this big,
yeah,
great big tree.
Yeah, we're not much to start with. Mm. But God is going to make us into something that's bigger.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was just a chance choice. I mean, God chose the mustard seed,
yeah,
to show the potential. Right, the smallest seed to the largest plant. I mean,
yeah,
those two that illustration, I think, was deliberate,
uh-huh,
to just basically show it's unlimited.
You know, what goes along with that is that you have to bury a seed and have it die, and then it becomes something else.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It grows. He used that parallel, you know, parable too. So along with that, it all kind of runs together.
How ridiculous we are to want to not be buried and die.
Yeah.
All the thing we achieve is this tiny little mustard seed. If we could only be buried and die, turn into a mighty, huge tree. You know.
And if you die, it's a lot easier to sell everything you have.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I noticed a verse before all of these things started. It said verse 15. It says that Jesus in verse 34, it says that Jesus spoke things in parables. And without a parable spoke he not unto them. And then in verse 35, and get a hold of this verse. It says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Good Lord, yes.
They've been kept secret? How important is it then that we had to understand what we're being told?
There's
a whole bunch of them in that chapter, isn't
there? Pardon?
There's all kinds of parables in that chapter.
Well, yeah.
One right after another.
Yeah.
And I should have known it, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm starting to. Mm. The field where he's sowing is the world, it says. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what Jesus was. And no, when the Bible is as far-reaching as it is, it can be sowed to the whole world without anybody even being part of it. And the thing that is hard to equate with is the fact that it says that he's gonna take all things that offend out of the kingdom.
Quite a collection.
You know what I mean? You would think the kingdom is perfect, but the devil sowed tares among the wheat.
Uh-huh.
And so
I think it's kind of cool though that he points out here when in the parable they say, should we go and get them out so the wheat can grow? He says, no, don't worry about them. That's not your problem, because you're going to pull out the good ones when you pull out the bad ones. Yeah. Let them grow. Let them all grow, and I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And that's what we would do. You know, we would pull out the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
If we really knew what the bad was.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can think that God is, we can misinterpret his grace when he is merely letting the tares grow until the end. But we say, well, God he's a God of grace and of excuse, you know. No, he's waiting until the end of time. And then the angels are going to come and pull out the tares, and they're going to be thrown into the fire. And, you know, that's it will be his judgment. It won't be his grace operating at that time.
What occurred to me too is it's his judgment. I mean, should we pull out the tares and they go, well, you don't really know what the tares are.
No.
Yeah, so
but he's judging the secret places of our hearts. And so if we're either accusing or excusing, if I was ripping out tares, I'd be accusing. And I don't want to be judged on the accusation of only what is seen on the surface. I want that secret place in my heart to be judged.
And thank you, Lord. Lord.
If you think about what all the poor seed went through in that dying process, it has to actually be buried and drowned and feel like it has no life and go through really hard circumstances and shed off its protective layer to then sprout. You know, that almost uncircumcision, you know, the taking away our circumcision, taking away the seed coat in order for it to grow. Where that seed coat was protecting it from the darkness and the dirt and the drowning, you know?
Lord, yes.
I was just stopping and thinking, everything that grows, I mean, what is the biggest seed you've ever seen? It's probably like a kernel of corn or something is about the biggest,
about as big as I get.
You know, or acorn, you know, look at the tree that grows from them things, you know?
That's right.
It's amazing. That all of them are just this little bitty thing that has all that in it when it starts to grow to create what it does.
And they just stay dormant until they're put in really
weird
situations.
Yeah.
They can stay dormant forever.
And we have a lot of fall oak trees. And they're some of the best trees that you can get. And every one of those, I think, was planted by a squirrel.
Yeah, right.
You see that the pretty oak that's out here in the front? It was worth more than all of those pines. I asked Pablo, I said, what do you think of those pine trees? You know what his answer was? Garbage.
Garbage, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought, now, what does every tree do? Right, they all create oxygen. Mm-hmm. Even those silly old pines.
And purifies the air.
That's about all they do.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, they're not completely useless.
They stop the wind, too, I think. You know, they're providing a kind of protection for you. But not that they shouldn't be cut down. They probably should, Keith. But
I was trying to think of how many oak or pines that I have cut down here.
What?
I'm guessing 100. Of course, that's 30 years worth.
Well, on your gravestone, it will not say the friend of the pine.
That's why I tell people if I get buried in a pine box, I don't want it to be a jack pine. What was the guy that owned this property? What was his name?
I think, you know, wasn't his house down there by Lake Halley?
Yeah.
I think it's for sale. That property.
Yeah.
What was it?
Wasn't Hughes, was it?
Yes.
Wasn't it Clark Hughes?
Clark Hughes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't feel that way now, but there was a time that I felt like I'd like to find his grave and have to plant some of these on top of it. That's not a good feeling, and I don't feel that way. But he planted them for pulp, and there came a day when we didn't need pulp. And I couldn't find anybody that wanted to use them for that. Is Pablo okay today?
Dominic's leaving this morning.
What?
Dominic is going back to St. Louis today.
Did it get a little tiring for him yesterday, though, with all the activity going on?
Yeah, he had a rough Friday anyway, and it's just kind of
carried over a little.
Yeah.
He kind of rallied. For the party.
Yeah, the party was the most activity for sure. Yeah. So I think he's feeling okay this morning, but he hasn't had any
surprised, right?
Yeah, he was surprised.
Anybody get it on film or picture?
I did. Him walking in, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I had my camera or my phone set up so that when he walked in, I could see him and everybody.
So yeah. Are you going to show it to us?
If you want to watch it on my phone. He had him walk in and he goes, like, yeah. His reaction was his excitement because he was like, no, you're not doing this. And it looked like he was like, everybody leave. Yeah, it was pretty cute. I took some pictures too of him hugging everybody and whatever. That was cool. Mm-hmm. Seeing Dana and my grandpa talk was cool. Old tile layer to
yeah.
Tile layer.
Yeah, he talked to you for a long time, didn't he?
Dana? Yeah.
I was thinking about it. And you did a fine thing by providing that man with a profession.
Yeah.
You had some good reasons for not wanting to do that. And yeah. Shove off in the middle of the job and go start playing pinball. But the man, you know, the upshot of it was he grew up and now he's got a real good profession.
He's apologized to me for that a number of times.
When my dad had his stroke, there was a thing he was in the middle of finishing, and Dana had to go finish it for him, which was really cool, and a lot of the portion of the job. And Dana was very sweet and offered his services to do that for my dad, which was really cool.
Yes.
And students allowed to pay him, which was really cool. And a love thing.
Plus, he's kind of keeping an eye out for Eli.
Yes.
He said, yeah, he's working for a good company to get a lot of experience, but then. And then he's going to try to recruit him, I think.
Probably. Eli's doing really good. He's finally finishing our shower. Hopefully,
yeah.
Today, my shower will actually be finished in the basement. But he's doing really good figuring out himself. It's really cool to see the backsplashes and the stuff that he's doing to
sure.
Figure out, but the shower and the shelves.
Big steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also taught Pablo to lay tile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was an interesting thing. I couldn't understand him.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he used a lot of names like they used in Chile. Mm-hmm. You know, like they were close to the names here, like Silicone.
Right.
Well, you can guess what it is.
Silicone. Yeah.
And he would use it, and you know, I didn't have a foggy idea what he said. Do we have any silicone? I'm thinking, it don't ring a bell. So, I will tell you a quick story of what I did. His mother, Jackie, I mean, speaks Spanish or whatever, and I couldn't understand, we couldn't talk together. But one day, she chipped a tooth, and she wanted to get and have a dentist fix it. And I didn't. And so I said, Jackie, have you thought about some silicone? And she goes, she says, no silicone.
Oh, funny.
Does Laura still play the piano, or do you know? We had a time here when Goldust would show up on people. That, you remember, does anybody remember that?
I remember.
And she sat there playing the piano one day, and we looked at her, and the next thing you know, she was just full of Goldust. And we have no idea where, how it come or what happened, but
she felt a little embarrassed by it, I think.
Yeah.
Funny. I remember Bonnie had she had more gold teeth in her mouth than what she thought she had.
No, I lost all those teeth.
Oh.
Joanne had two of them. She never had gold teeth, but she had two gold teeth.
Yeah. He shows his ways in some funny ways.
Yeah.
Gold flakes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what for that?
Yeah.
Well, he had his own good reasons for doing what he did.
Because you could see it coming. Mm-hmm. You could see it happening. One of the many crazy things that happened to the church.
Yeah.
I used to think maybe it was falling out of the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Chuck, come and pick it up.
Right. He would have already picked it all up, so.
Yeah. We never found any value in it, though.
Well, those things I see as just tiny glimpse, like out of the corner of your eye, kind of glimpse that you get. Something you can't be just totally sure of, but you see, you know? Yeah,
we saw strange things.
Yeah.
And, we saw people falling under for no reason. I fell and hit my head in the back of my head in a pew, and Dale was standing right alongside of me, and I never even felt it.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of that. We saw a fellow out in Seattle. He was over the Bible College, but he was an Army general or Army something.
Talk about Jack Du Bois?
Jack Du Bois, yeah. And anyway, we're praying for him. We're praying in a group out of Seattle. And he fell forward and hit his face right on the cement, or on the, it was vinyl tile, but he fell right forward. He's, a good 6 foot tall. And his glasses were shooting off to the side, and he just laid there. And Don Burnett says, he says, he okay? I said, yeah, he's fine. And he got up, and everybody felt it. And,
I still think those things are seeing through a glass darkly. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I think those things are just hints. Just seeing through a glass darkly.
Yeah.
But what we have in front of us is then face to face. You know, that's something we can look forward to. Then face to face. You know? The power, the love, the truth, the light, it will be then face to face. You know, that's what we can expect. We can certainly expect it in heaven, but I'm thinking there will be a powerful ministry of the Spirit in which those things will be just, little tiny hints of what's ahead. God does enough to keep us interested, but hey, there's a lot more.
Yeah, I was reading in John this morning, and Jesus promises that you'll do greater things than I did.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of great things.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's take him up on that one.
Yeah.
Let's take him up on that
one. Yeah, we need to be looking for that and asking for it.
Sure.
Having faith to receive it.
Yes.
I was just looking in Luke here, chapter 10, when he sent out the 70, and then when they returned, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name."
Right.
You know, and of course, there's more of it, read more of it, but, you know, they talk, you know, I forgot what I was going to say.
It's good, though.
You know.
But, yeah, have the demons subject in his name? My, what a great thing.
We're excited to see how powerful their faith was being, being supported.
Yeah, in verse 18, it says, when he said, came back and told him, and he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. You know, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." So, I mean, imagine being more than 70. You know?
Yeah.
To have that kind of authority over the devil, or demons, rather.
And guess what? You can't work it up.
No! No,
he
I can't do it.
He has to give it.
No.
That's what's kind of hard, you know, like, even when we were praying the other night and stuff, you want to see the time when you get the result right away, you know?
Yeah.
But not so. You know?
And that was just 70 people. What's it going to be like when it gets near the end here, when he sends a lot of people off?
Yes.
I remember back when deliverance and praying for a lot of different people, and after a while, I remember there was a point where I was almost 100% sure that demon was going to come out. And then you spoke different because you had faith, you know. But it took a lot of deliverances before you started feeling the faith to really come against the enemy, you know.
Authority.
Yeah.
Authority.
Because you started seeing the results, and you just had authority. There were certain times when you just spoke, and you knew the demon heard you, and it was just a matter of not all night, but and he was going to leave.
I bet you those 70 didn't spend all night praying for somebody either.
No, I don't think so.
You know, it's like
some of that's to test us a little, you know, but I don't think it's meant to be that way all the time. I think there's meant to be authority that's effective immediately, almost. I mean, I don't think Jesus said within the hour was the longest it ever mentioned that he was had a deliverance, you know, going on.
I don't, you know, when the King James Version, you know, it's language 400 years ago, talks about in that same hour, I don't think we're talking about 60 minutes. We're talking about
five minutes.
Yeah, whatever.
Within 3 o'clock.
Yeah, right.
It happened.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just happened. No, 60 minutes about it.
Well, and it's, you know, there's an exercise in faith. But the natural man likes reaffirming. You know? So it's like, okay, you continue to step out of faith. And if you're not careful, you can become discouraged, you know. So it's good when you step out in faith and then you see deliverance or you see a healing or whatever. And even Jesus said, "These signs are here for you so you may believe." Yeah, I know what I'm dealing with, and you guys need a little propping up here. It's just, and that's why I think that the phrase to Thomas at the end, "Blessed are those who believe who have not seen." Mm-hmm. It might be, that's not a great quote, but that's the second.
Well, that's it.
Version.
I've been careful with that.
And John, there's two, three times where it said, and because they saw the signs and wonders, they came to believe. You know, but then, I just read a little, then it says, you came because you saw the signs and wonders, but that's not all.
Blessed are those who come without.
Right.
Yeah, and then they just came for the loaves and the fishes.
Right.
You know, hey, those Gospels are so funny. Because there is such an emphasis on all the miraculous things that Jesus did. Fed the 5,000 with loaves and fishes. So often. But then it talks about, that's nothing. Come on, get your priorities right. Your priorities ought to be focusing on the Lord, not all the miraculous, you know. It's a funny message that we are given there in those Gospels.
There is a conflicting story all the way through.
Uh-huh, yep, yeah, yep.
This is big, that's really not important.
Yeah, right.
You were talking to me like, how come things didn't happen right away, and it got to the point, you know, Peter and John and Acts, you go, the mere shadow was enough, you know. They weren't stopping, they just, Okay, so the power can be really, really impressive, you know.
When God wants to,
God's there.
Let it happen.
Yep.
Then it'll happen until He wants it to happen.
And He'll use and do it in the most unsuspecting way, too, which is also true to form.
I was just reading in Acts, it also is to be used against people who do not believe but want to come against us. It says here, then they called them again and commanded them not to speak, speaking of Peter and John. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to Him? You be the judges. And they couldn't speak anymore because they didn't have the authority for one thing, and the other thing is people saw what happened.
Sure.
So they knew who to believe. It sure wasn't those that were coming against them.
That was a fool's game, wasn't it? See all this miraculous stuff and decide you're going to be against that? Ooh, 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 what's going on there?
They were against it because they wouldn't be following them anymore. And if they see that, then they would be part of the different church and our rulings. We're living that time now. Keep a couple of the things. Let's not do those ones.
Lose our place in nations.
Right, and if the leaders who are worried about that, then they just want to be leading. Blind leaders of the blind don't really care where we're going, but I want to be in charge of you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I suppose we can expect the same thing ahead of us.
Absolutely.
Same kind of thinking.
But for those who believe, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned.
Yeah.
Well, and in that same setting, it talks about how they don't even, like, they're given this thing, and then they, having hunger ears, they get leaders to themselves, but then the leaders don't even know what they're teaching or what they're saying, you know.
Right.
But they're given, it says that God allows them strong delusions. God gives them that to believe. That's not the devil letting them believe that. I don't want a strong delusion from God either.
No. You don't want to fall into that place.
Mm-hmm. No. And it's because they did not have a love for the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
We can speak to that now because we've been through it.
Oh, Lord, give us a love for the truth. Give us a love for the truth.
Amen.
Continue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have that be ongoing.
Yeah.
And it says in Thessalonians, it says, because they did not receive a love for the truth, that they might be saved.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a salvation issue. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's easy to not have a love for the truth. It's easy to read the scriptures and still not have a love for the truth. When it just becomes a study issue, you know, just something that we're reading or whatever.
Isn't it interesting that there's just that one little spot in the whole New Testament that your salvation, rests on? Kind of, I mean, you know, it's the essence of the whole reason why you should want to eat the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because it's truth, you know?
It is consistent with the tenor of Scripture, of course.
Yeah. But it's funny how it's just, look at how long it took us to before he let us discover that.
Yeah.
That, to me, is almost as important as that. You know, they should probably write one under the other one, or one before the other.
Yeah, it is. What, Corky?
Yes, sir.
Where is that other sign that was up in the front of the church?
Well, it was on that board that got taken down, didn't it, for the party?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just in the other room. It's rolled up. It's ready to go back. We just
your children were questions about this. I said, does your dad know that you've taken this down? Is he even coming? And they said, we will put it back. So I did what I could there.
I'm not the one that was questioned.
No, it was your daughter. Your daughter, Friday night, I saw her rolling up that sign, and I went, is Keith planning to come? And she said, well, yeah. Did you tell him you're taking the sign down? Well, I'll put it back. I said, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be good enough.
I kind of missed it.
I know.
So
it's a good witness.
Yes, if they just took it down because that's where they put the happy birthday, and it goes right above that corkboard. That's really the only place they could do that. So we just didn't get that back up last night. We, other people, I'm not actually sure where that got set. Good.
It comes down for most parties.
It does. Yeah,
of course
it does. I think actually for every party it comes down, because that's where everybody does
the
wall thing, they put a decoration on for pictures.
Yeah.
And then birthday presents go right in front of it, or a chair or whatever. So like the balloon wall. Yeah.
People have to get a little
second corkboard or something.
Or
put it in the front by the picture of Jesus. Nobody decorates there. On the other end, and then you can see it right when you walk in.
Yeah, but we kind of thought we don't want to cover up that mural either.
We really like that picture. That used to be there.
Right.
Yeah, they covered up.
Yeah, I felt bad about that.
Could it be in like a different corner? Or I don't know. I don't remember how it is. I just know.
There's a lot of windows around, don't we?
There isn't that many walls to put stuff on.
Yeah,
it's all windows.
Right.
I wonder, is there enough space above the counter, you know, on the...
The tile?
I guess that's all tiled up to the ceiling. And
well, I mean, but we could take... I'd have to look. There might be...
Might be able to put it there.
I don't know how noticeable it would be, though.
Well, when you walk in the door...
People standing
walking up for the stairs.
How big is it? Couldn't it go?
It's as big as that.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Because that wall, like, in the one corner just skewed, because Jesus is over here. It'd be like a roll of thirds.
That would... it would cover up that window. Probably too much of the window would be covered up.
Could we somehow...
I didn't mean the window wall, but Jesus wall still
just small.
We could also cut it out of vinyl, and then it would just be a sticker on that wall, which is kind of cool. And then it wouldn't have a background, so it could be incorporated in with the mural really in a really cool way. Angel and I both have vinyl cutters, so you can literally make a sticker of the same verse.
Oh.
Bought an extended thing for her cricket that it was 24 by 12 because she did the thing at Wagner's bowling alley. She made them a sticker for their ball, which is really cool. Or D
Well, if I bought the new one, I could, but I'm not going to pay $300 for all the machine.
No, she just, with hers, she could change a setting, and literally it was just a different pack, like a...
Mine's an older, so...
Yeah.
But they have the new ones that are 15 wide, and...
This is all on TV.
Yeah. Everyone else needs to know that, Glenn.
Everybody needs to know, yes.
Somewhere somebody, a little old lady, is going to be listening and be thankful.
I was looking at
Tally. Like most church services, we are all friends.
This is who we are.
Love you.
Yeah, it's cool.